Bread, bread, and more bread. There's no escaping bread as we work through the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. From the feeding of the thousands to the understanding of the Eucharist with the Big E, which we celebrate this morning, to the Eucharist with the little e, the giving of thanks that we celebrate every day, bread has been at the center of our gospel texts for the past several weeks. Today it is no different, but this bread does bring with it, in the final verse, this text has a distinct and provocative twist. Because after talking about the bread of life, and the bread that comes down from heaven, Jesus offers us a remarkable statement. John chapter 6, verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, if for some reason you didn't hear that last line clearly earlier, spend a few moments with it. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. However we work with this text, however we massage it, contextualize it, quite simply, I believe it to be the scandal of the incarnation that is at issue here. God's presence with us. How on earth could God have appeared in a human? Often we try and avoid this central belief of the Christian way because of its absolutely scandalous nature. And this should not surprise us. Many of us find it more comfortable to stay in the realm of Jesus as master teacher, as ethicist par excellence. But to say that God, infinite and all-powerful, could be found in fragile human form, friends, this is almost absurd. And yet this is the claim that we make. Sunday after Sunday, creed after creed, Eucharist after Eucharist, God made human. Now really, this should shock us. And every time that it doesn't, maybe we're not quite paying attention. We should be put off kilter by this notion. Later in this chapter, Jesus himself asks his disciples if they are offended that God's self could be found in the muck and the mire, in the pain, in the death of this world. Really, God in the common and the ordinary, in a human body, in the bread and the wine, present in all those around us. It can be hard to believe. And it is from this sense of disbelief that I can understand the people called the Jews in this gospel. Now, anytime we read that phrase, the Jews, in John's gospel, we have to be very careful in how we read it. Because in this case, as in most cases, it most assuredly does not mean all the Jews in first century Israel, let alone any other time and place. In this instance, it could be referring to a dispute within the Jewish community of the second century. That's when John's Gospel was being written. It could be during this time that many in the Jewish and Christian communities, this was a very fluid time, were debating as to who this Jesus was, and that is reflected in our text. Or it could refer to the Jewish authorities that Jesus was challenging in Jerusalem. But in this passage, using either of these suppositions as our ending place is a grave mistake. because truth be told, any one of us might be there ourselves. So, for the sake of entering more fully into the text this morning, take out the phrase, the Jews, and instead place those who you know might cling to control, cling to the way that they've known the world to be. Or instead, place those who you might know whose religious certainty has confined God to our own limited expectations of what might be possible. And friends, after doing this, I found that it might just be me, because I find it all too easy to be placed in those shoes. Frankly, if I had heard those words of Jesus, I might wonder, what do you mean, this living bread? What do you mean this is the way that God is known on earth? Or, as one theologian has offered, can this Jesus be both bread from heaven and the kid from down the street whose parents we know so well? We spend much of our lives in fear of the unknown, but in this case, what we should be most concerned about is what we think we know, the limits of where we believe that God can be present. Much like some in the first century who walked with Jesus, we find it hard at times to believe that God could have been, is now, and will be in this mess, in the form of a human infant, no less, to live as one of us. And at times it is difficult to fathom that God could be present in a real way in something as ordinary and common as bread and wine. That in the midst of this broken world, we might actually find wholeness of the presence of God here with us, sometimes is hard to believe. Several years ago, I had an experience of that presence, and at the same time, an experience of my own disbelief that God could be this close at hand. Like most of these experiences, I did nothing to earn it. In fact, I stood mostly in its way. It was a Tuesday night in Manhattan in the winter. It was Christmas Eve, in fact. And before the midnight mass, my wife, Sarah, and I decided to go out for dinner. And for the past few months, we'd been intending to visit our favorite Afghani restaurant across town, especially since the bombings in Afghanistan had recently begun at that point. Upon arriving to the mostly empty restaurant, we were placed at a table by the window that overlooked a quiet street and sidewalk. And we were enjoying a great festive meal when, out of the corner of my eye, I noticed someone walking slowly along the sidewalk by the window right next to where I was eating. And I turned my head to look and found myself eye level looking directly into the eyes of a homeless woman. I paused, then quickly glanced away, feeling uncomfortable. Now I know that I held discomfort for many reasons, that I was warm and fed, which did not look to be the case for her, and there were many other reasons. But then, realizing what I had done, I looked back. And when I did, I saw her smile under her knit cap, a smile that I will not forget, because the smile lit up her face and lit up mine. And through the window, out in the cold, on the outside breaking in, she mouthed the words, "Merry Christmas." And in that moment, as unlikely as it may sound, God was present, in a place that I was not expecting. This woman had looked past my fear, my rejection, my hesitation, and my temporary loss of self. And through God's grace, she had responded with love. Despite my efforts to look past one of God's beloved, she had broken through with the words that reminded me what that holy day was about. At that moment, in those words spoken, the incarnation became real to me. Now, the midnight mass that night was beautiful. The Gotelet on the mountain by the Hudson Valley Brass was stirring, the Eucharist fulfilling. But for me, in that instant, I just knew what was before me, what was within me, what was around me. Simply put, the scandal of the presence of God. Friends, we do our best to shield ourselves from this possibility that God could really be among us. Usually in today's text, I preach about the real presence in the sacraments, this connection between the bread of life and the flesh, the body of Christ. This I believe to be true, that there is something different about this meal when we share it. Not necessarily transubstantiation, that the bread and wine no longer exist, but that Jesus is present in a real way through the elements with us. But too often, we remain with this notion of the presence of Christ solely in the Eucharist and lose sight of the rest of the scandal that the incarnation demands. Given that this Sunday is a day when through our open-door dinner in our parish hall, we feed those in hunger, a group that is growing day by day, we cannot lose sight of where this presence is all around us. We cannot neglect to know Christ in the bruised and the battered around us, even as we know Christ in the body and the blood. Now, it so happens that Christians have been coming to grips with the implications of this scandal for years. And so, to close, I would like to use the words of Frank Weston, Anglican Bishop of Zanzibar, first spoken in 1923. Bishop Weston said, "I am not talking economics. I do not understand them. I am not talking politics. I do not understand them. I am talking the gospel, and I say to you this. If you are Christians, then your Jesus is one and the same. Jesus on the throne of his glory, Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus received into your hearts in communion, Jesus with you mystically as you pray. And Jesus enthroned in the hearts and bodies of his brothers and sisters up and down this country. And it is folly, it is madness, to suppose that you can worship Jesus in the sacraments and Jesus on the throne of glory when you are sweating him in the souls and bodies of his children. It cannot be done. Now go out into the highways and hedges. Go out and look for Jesus in the ragged, in the naked, in the oppressed and sweated, in those who have lost hope, in those who are struggling to make good. Look for Jesus. And when you see him, gird yourselves with his towel and try to wash their feet."